Welcome to Your Expat Expert Podcast, where we provide expatriate services to individuals and companies moving abroad in an educational environment with an informative voice, helping you feel confident and, more importantly, prepared. As you prepare to take this journey to study, work, volunteer, or retire abroad, subscribe to Your Expat Expert Podcast to minimize the nobody told me or I didn't know moments. Now let's begin with a smoother transition. Today on the show, we have Ms. Chandra Poole, an international educator. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so you've completed two international teaching assignments. One was in China and one was in Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay, so why did you decide to teach abroad?
I've just always wanted to teach abroad. I was one of those kids that read the encyclopedia and would turn to different countries and read up about that stuff when encyclopedias were popping.
Okay.
Were they ever popping encyclopedias?
Yes, when they used to come and knock on your door and
I look forward to it.
I didn't, but
okay,
but if you did, that's
fine. I was about that life. So I've just always been interested in travel, and I had a professor who mentioned in one of her lectures one day that she had taught abroad, and then I stayed after to talk to her about it, and she mentioned her experience, and I thought that's something that I wanted to do. Okay, so
awesome. Okay, well, the teaching assignments that you had, were they with local schools or with international expat children?
So the schools that I taught in are they are private schools. Some of them, one of them was for profit, the other was not for profit, but the clientele were a mixture of local children and expat children.
Okay. And could you walk us through the actual hiring process, such as like your recruiter, who did you use, the scheduling process, like when was the best time to start applying? How long did it take for the interviewing process, getting an offer, and then you have to go to that country?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, you might have to repeat some questions.
Yeah. So recruiting.
So the recruiting process is really, it's just a matter of a Google search.
Okay.
That's what I did initially. And I found that there are recruiters such as Search Associates, and international school services are services that teachers can use. And these are paid services where you submit your resume and other things related to your professional experience. And you have access to, if you're approved, then you have access to a database. And this is for a fee. You have access to a database. And the database allows you to see job openings for international schools around the world. And these schools can also see your credentials, and you can see little bits of the school, and that database allows you to start a conversation.
Okay.
So those organizations, Search and ISS, they also offer job fairs that you can go to if you are a member.
Okay.
Membership includes one free job fair, and that allows you face-to-face contact. But there's also job fairs that you can go to. One is the University of Northern Iowa, UNI. They have a job fair that happens in February, and schools from around the world go there to interact with teachers in the United States. There is a job fair in Atlanta that happens in December for teachers that are interested in schools in the Caribbean, South America. That is the ASA Fair, the Association of, and I forgot, but okay. It's the ASA Fair.
Okay, the ASA Fair, they can look it up. It's a simple Google search.
It happens in December.
Okay.
And but a really good one that I used to get my most recent gig, it was absolutely free, and it's called the GRC.
GRC?
Okay. And it is absolutely free. I have to say that again, it's absolutely free. You sign up, and you have access to really great international schools that offer really great packages. And that's what I use this time around. I've never been to a job fair, so I can't speak to that. All of my positions I got online via Skype, talking to people. And
So from the time that they interviewed you through Skype, When did you receive an offer? Did you get it at the last minute, or were they very efficient with making their teacher selection?
The schools that I've worked with have been very efficient in terms of the offer. I've gotten offers in April before. I've gotten offers. And that's when I started my search late. That was my first international gig. And I was in privy to the recruiting season, which typically happens in the autumn.
Okay.
So I've gotten jobs in late spring, I've gotten jobs in winter, and I got my most recent job in the autumn. So.
Okay. Where did you teach, and how was the administration?
I've taught in China, and I taught in Brazil, and the administration, every administration is different. Schools are like a box of chocolate. Right?
Okay.
Quoting Forrest Gump, you never know what you're going to get. But I would say that my administration was, in the first school, it took me some adjusting. The school, though it offered me, you know, I had great parents and great students and that sort of thing. I'm more of a progressive teacher, and so the school itself wasn't really aligned with progressive ideals. They were more into like the traditional form of education. Uh-huh. And for me, that wasn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people liked that school and they stayed there for a long time.
Okay.
So,
could you explain the culture with paperwork, living accommodations? For example, the paperwork that they provided for you in China, did they take forever to process your work permit? Or even with Brazil, did they?
No, it was all very efficient.
It was efficient. Okay.
All very efficient in terms of the paperwork. Mm-hmm. When I was in China, though, I immediately felt like I went from the school that I was using in China. I remember there was a lot of paper, and everything seemed to be more digitized. Back in the day, this was almost 10 years ago, so
right.
I'm trying to remember. But I remember thinking, as I moved around Beijing and I was doing banking and that sort of thing, it was like carbon copy slips everywhere. The printers with the perforated.
Yes.
How do you say this? Come on.
With the dots.
Come on.
With the holes in it.
Come
yes.
on, dots
yes.
in the hole. In. Yeah, what's that?
The holes on the sides, yes.
So I thought, my gosh, where am I? Mm-hmm. But that was all a part of culture shock, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And then your living accommodations. In China as well as Brazil, those were acceptable. They were.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you have to recognize when you are an American moving to another country is that you have to go without expectation and understand that what is considered living standards differ from country to country. So if you're going to live abroad, flexibility is important. The United States is a very wealthy country, and a lot of times we don't realize the amount of wealth that we live with in the United States until we are outside of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from as someone who grew up poor in the United States, so not even being fully aware of how poverty in the United States is still privileged when you compare it to poverty in other places. Mm-hmm. So that being said, my first international teaching experience was in Beijing, and my first apartment was in a middle-class community in the suburbs of Beijing. And I remember going to our teacher liaison and saying, you know, I don't have hot water. Like, this is a problem. I don't have hot water in my kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. And she was, Chandra, nobody has hot water in their kitchen sink. Well, very few of us have hot water in our kitchen sink. That's standard. And I was like, okay. She's like, do you have hot water to take a shower? I was like, yeah. She was like, okay, that's what we offer.
Okay.
And I was like,
thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Okay.
Check myself.
Right. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to discuss the student and their parents.
Why choose Real Property Management, Washington, D.C.? There are a lot of folks out there wanting to manage a rental property. Not all are created equal. For hundreds of years, property management has been a cottage industry where your only options were a mom-and-pop shop, or worse, a one-man show. And at first, they all seem to be offering the same thing. So, you may be tempted to decide on price alone. But when you take a closer look, the facts just don't add up. Without the necessary staff, technology, and resources, how can they really get the job done and get you the best return? Are mistakes and poor management costing you more? Are you really saving by getting so much less? By saving a few bucks a month on a discount company, you get so much more with real property management. Shorter vacancies, better qualified tenants, lower eviction rates, quality cost-effective maintenance, fewer costly mistakes, and all this backed by a team of local experts and more efficient technology-driven processes developed with over 25 years of experience. So your management fee actually saves you money. Put simply, we run your rental property like a business because that's what it is. So join tens of thousands of property owners across the country who choose Real Property Management and are glad they did. Visit rpmwashingtondc.com to find out more.
Moving abroad? Need to sell your home before you leave? Do you need to buy a new home in your host country? At Engage Properties Group, we can help you manage both of those needs. My name is Nicole Butler at Engage Properties Group. We are headquartered in Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. We are certified international property specialists designated by the National Association of Realtors, which allows us to specifically help families who are moving here into the United States from another country or moving from the United States abroad, just about anywhere you go. We are a comprehensive real estate company able to help all of your needs and answer any of your questions, as I'm sure you will have a lot of them. Need a lender? Need to simply understand what the process is of buying a home in your host country? For additional questions or additional information, please contact us at www.engageprop.com. That is www.engageprop.com.
We're back with Ms. Chandra Poole, an international educator. Now, based on your observation, how are the students similar and or different from American students?
I want to speak carefully here because I don't want to make generalizations,
right,
because
right.
Students are individuals and they... I would say that one thing about my students that I taught in Asia, as opposed to the students that I taught here in the United States, was that their parents pushed them really hard academically, mm-hmm. In ways that were new to me.
Well, it's based off their culture as well, because eventually they're going to have to take care of their parents. So they want to make sure that they have what is needed to take care of the family,
mm-hmm.
which would be education,
mm-hmm.
so you can get a good job, get paid well, etc. So it's more of a culture thing as well. It's mixed in with culture as well.
Mm. I would say that I think that parents in the United States have similar goals and drives, but mm-hmm. how they implement them are different. My students in China, and I'm talking about a very small subset when you think about all of the Asian students in the world, but
mm-hmm.
My students in China, I was teaching fifth grade, and I asked them, you know, what time do you go to bed? And they said, oh, if I go to bed before midnight, it's a good night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, what do you do? And they're like, they have
studying.
All this studying, you know, on top of the schoolwork that I give them at home, that I give them at home. Their parents were giving them
mm-hmm.
more work to do.
Then they had private tutors.
Yeah. They had my homework. They had their homework from their Chinese teachers.
Mm-hmm.
For some of my students, they had homework from their Korean teachers on top of that, and then they had their parents' homework. So there was a lot of work that they were expected to manage at a young age. And so that was the immediate difference I noticed with that. Also, getting them to participate in discussions. My students generally expected getting them to transition from the idea of, again, I like to think of myself as a more progressive kind of educator, so, you know, wanting to pull the knowledge out of them. And basically, if I talk too much in the class, and then I feel like I'm doing too much. Mm-hmm. And so them expecting for the teacher to give them like the sit and get style of education. So getting them to transition out of that model was more difficult than it was for my students in the States.
Okay.
And my students in Brazil were way more affectionate. There, I they would come and give me kisses on the cheek. And aww. Now in the United States, it's like, you know, right. There's affection, but there's a limit. Like your
personal
kids are
space.
Not, you know, kids are not, especially when you're talking about fourth and fifth grade students. Mm-hmm. They're not coming to hug you and nuzzle and right. and kiss you on the cheek. So that made me uncomfortable for the first few months. And mm-hmm. you know, I was like, wait, what? You saw that? I didn't instigate this.
Right.
Child. Okay. But then, you know, I got comfortable with that. So.
And what about the parents, especially during parent-teacher conferences? How are they similar or different within the U.S.?
At the end of the day, all the parents want to know that the teacher is someone that they can trust with their child.
Absolutely.
And that they can, that the student is going to grow academically with the students. In the United States, my conferences would generally be taken up equal parts with academic versus socio-emotional skills.
Okay.
They wanted to know generally both of those things. When I was in China at my school, it was strictly about academics. My parents in general, you know, wanted to know what that grade point average was, how did their child compare to the other students in the class, the rankings and that sort of thing. And when I would try to bring up the socio-emotional skills, it was they tolerated that, but they wanted to steer me back to
the academic.
The academic. When I was in Brazil, it was really heavy on the socio-emotional skills. Does my child have friends? You know, I would bring up the academic stuff and say, well, your child is reading, you know, on grade level, and I'm so excited to say that their personal essay writing skills, they're able to write with compound sentences and blah blah blah, and the parents are just tolerating that, and they're like, right. Do they have a lot of friends?
Right.
You know, they really want to talk about the socio-emotional component.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And well, we've talked about two of your assignments, but I'm excited about what you just told me earlier today, which is another assignment that you're about to take part in.
Yeah, I'm moving to India.
Oh wow, congratulations. Okay, well, what were your lessons learned or nobody told me or I didn't know moments prior to this assignment you're about to do? And how are you going to use that for your new assignment?
Mm.
That's loaded.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, I'm just going to go forward with the idea that I don't have expectations.
Okay.
I take each student, each assignment, I just go in and I try to take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try my best not to compare this new school to the other schools
okay.
that I have worked in. I think that with my first assignment, I wish I could have told myself to not go there with expectations that
okay.
teaching in that school is going to be different from teaching in the other schools that you've ever taught in. And so mm-hmm. take each school for what it is.
Okay.
So I'm going to continue to do that. And that goes along with the culture as well, you know,
right.
just
okay.
be flexible.
Ms. Poole, thank you very much. Our international educator. I appreciate you coming on our show. So thank you so much.
This was so pleasant. Yes. I was a bit nervous.
Well, you did awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So enjoy your journey, your next journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Your Expat Expert Podcast. We would love to hear about your international experience. Email us your story to yourexpatexpert@gmail.com. Enjoy your journey because your new life is about to begin.